upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. Patrick Lloyd here for Technocracy News and Trends. Welcome to today's program. We're going to talk mostly about climate change and things surrounding climate change today. All three articles relate one way or another to climate change. And the first article will kind of set the stage. The title is Climate Change, Five Surprising Peer-Reviewed Facts. I wrote at the top of this article, despite political rhetoric to the contrary, indisputable facts about the Earth's climate remain. Politicalization is designed to drive the world into sustainable development, aka technocracy. And we'll discuss this a little bit more as we go along. This article states, on the weekend of August 10 through 11, as if in chorus, major online news websites called on people to stop consuming meat. The calls echoed a recent United Nations report that recommended doing so to fight climate change. It surprised many. But there are other more surprising facts about climate change that are hardly published in our everyday news media. Below are some facts, scientifically recognized and published in peer-reviewed journals, that may raise your eyebrows. Number one, climate has always changed. Always. All proxy temperature data sets reveal that there have been cyclical changes in climate in the past 10,000 years. There is not a single climate scientist who denies this well-established fact. It doesn't matter what your position on the causes and magnitude and danger or not of the current climate change is, you have to be on board with this one. Climate has always changed, and it has changed in both directions, hot and cold. Until at least the 17th century, all these changes occurred when almost all humans were hunters, gatherers, and farmers. Number two, temperature increase in the past was not caused by humans. Industrialization did not happen until the 17th century. Therefore, no prior changes in climate change were driven by human emissions of carbon dioxide. In the last 2,000 years alone, global temperatures rose at least twice around the first and 10th centuries to levels similar to today's, and neither of those warm periods were caused by humans. Number three, the Arctic and Antarctic are doing better than ever. Yes, you read that right. The 10,000-year Holocene paleoclimatology records reveal that both the Arctic and Antarctic are in some of the healthiest states. The only better period for the poles was the 17th century, during the Little Ice Age, when ice mass levels were higher than today's. For the larger part of the past 10,000 years, the ice mass levels were lower than today's. Despite huge losses in recent decades, ice mass levels are at or near their historic highs. Number four, polar bears and other species are not dying, but rather they are flourishing. If you paid attention to the previous fact, then the following one is not hard to understand. Polar bears, often used as a symbol of climate doomsday, are one of the key species in the Arctic. Contrary to the hype surrounding their extinction fear, the population numbers have actually increased in the past two decades. Last year, the Canadian government considered increasing polar bear killing quotas as their increasing numbers posed a threat to the Inuit communities living in the Nunavut area. The increase in population size flies in the face of those who continue to claim otherwise in the popular news media. And it is not just the polar bears in the Arctic. Other critical species elsewhere, like tigers, are also making a comeback. Number five, carbon dioxide is not a temperature control knob. While most of the current climatologists who collaborate with the United Nations believe anthropogenic CO2 emissions have exacerbated natural warming in recent decades, there is no empirical proof to support their claim. The only way to test it would be to wait and see if their assumptions come true. The entire climate fraternity was in for a surprise when global temperature between 2000 and 2016 failed to rise as anticipated by the climate alarmists. The scientists assumed that rising CO2 emissions from human activity would result in a rapid rise in temperature, but they did not. This proved that atmospheric CO2 concentrations are not the primary factor controlling global temperature. Considerations of a much longer period, 10,000 years or more, suggest that CO2 had no significant role to play in temperature increases. CO2 never was the temperature control knob. These are some of the many climate facts that the media refuses to acknowledge, like the impending solar minimum that NASA has predicted over the next two solar cycles between 2021 and 2041, ushering in a period of global cooling like it did in the solar minimum of the 17th century. There are other facts that run contrary to popular belief, such that there has been no increase in the frequency or intensity of floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires, droughts, or other extreme weather events. Even the government's IPCC reported low confidence that global warming, man-made or not, was driving increases in extreme weather events. The list is endless. It would be naive not to acknowledge this blatant and lopsided reporting in our news media. So there you have it. These facts are indisputable, peer-reviewed, well-known to all climate scientists, and yet they selectively drop these facts out of their rhetoric. The next story is titled, Carbon Tax Cometh, Where 2020 Democrats Stand on Global Warming. I wrote, Democrat candidates for president are uniformly alarmist over global warming, but most are also pushing carbon tax as a solution. Carbon tax is one step away from technocracy's original specification for energy currency. This was, of course, formulated in the 1930s. Little has changed. The article starts out, and I recommend you read this article because you need to have a bead on where all these people are coming from. Two events shifted the climate change discussion among 2020 Democrat presidential candidates in August 2019. Jay Inslee, the governor of Washington State, who centered his campaign around the issue, dropped out of the race, while Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders launched a detailed plan to fulfill the goals of the Green New Deal. Sanders said, quote, the climate crisis is not only the single greatest challenge facing our country, it is also our single greatest opportunity to build a more just and equitable future. Many candidates have plans, some lengthy and detailed, some brief and vague, to address climate change. Generally, the candidates support recommitting to the Paris Climate Agreement and implementing a Green New Deal, at least in some form. But there are exceptions. Former Maryland Representative John Delaney, for instance, tweeted that the current Green New Deal, which includes guaranteeing a job to all Americans, is about as realistic as Trump saying that Mexico is going to pay for the wall. That isn't the only point of disagreement among candidates. The Democrats' climate change proposals splinter in terms of how they plan to cut emissions, specifically whether or not they support implementing a tax on carbon. As of this writing, candidates without specific or detailed climate change plans include New York Mayor Bill de Blasio and former U.S. Housing and Urban Development Department Secretary Julian Castro. They have, by the way, said plenty about the Green New Deal. We'll take you through some of the key points of the climate change discussion among the Democratic field to see where the individual candidates stand on climate change policies. Check out our chart, and you can click on that chart and see exactly what they're saying. One of the big things that keeps coming up over and over, however, is carbon tax. Carbon tax is designed to decrease the consumption of fossil fuels that produce carbon dioxide, which, of course, is a suppression of the use of fossil fuels in the first place, because the more they cost, the less they will be used. That's according to the law of supply and demand, of course. So a carbon tax would decrease economic activity, and that is exactly what it's designed to do, to decrease economic activity. Well, it's going to take us into our next article, and we need to discuss this backwards and forwards. The next article is titled Claim, Green New Deal is Cheaper than Climate Change. You just can't make this stuff up. Green New Deal is cheaper than climate change. Now, we already know that the Green New Deal is estimated to cost anywhere between $13 trillion and $50 trillion. Nobody really knows how much. They're just fishing for big numbers. But whatever the number is, it is absolutely unknown at this point. There is no way to accurately predict what the cost of doing all the things that the Green New Deal proposes until we actually do them. And heaven help us if we do. My comments on this article are, the wild predictions of cost for implementing the Green New Deal are staggering. Nonetheless, claims are now being made that the Green New Deal is cheap compared to the negative effects of global warming. And of course, nobody knows what the negative effects of global warming is going to cost either. I continue, the irresponsible economic promotion of this is equally staggering. Even a college freshman taking Economics 101 knows that all economic activity is directly related to the amount of energy available to it. If energy consumption is curtailed for any reason, so is economic activity, and thus the welfare of all humans in that economic system. The object of sustainable development, I'll make this point again, is not to increase economic activity, far from it, but rather to vastly reduce it. The United Nations Plan for Sustainable Development has nothing to do with developing the economic system to a greater degree in the world. It is designed to reduce economic activity. And the best way to do that is simply to reduce the amount of energy that's consumed by it. But the logic on this goes over the top. As economists and climate alarmists and everybody else in between jump on the bandwagon to see who can outdo each other with a more fantastical promise of doom or cost, it's just staggering. The article states, recently, the Democratic National Committee rejected calls for a presidential primary debate dedicated to climate change. DNC Chair Tom Perez argued that focusing on climate change alone would be unfair to those whose campaigns are more focused on other issues, which might be a compelling argument if experts said those matters had the potential to lead to civilizational collapse. This was a missed opportunity to demand that the candidates who have not authored or signed on to an ambitious proposal to transform our economy and energy infrastructure over a relatively short time frame, like the Green New Deal, explain how they'll pay for the more moderate approaches. But how will we pay for it is rarely asked in discussions of the military budget or trillion-dollar corporate tax cuts, but the media consistently demands that Democratic candidates offer detailed explanations of how they would finance Medicare for All or dealing with the student loan crisis. It's the same with climate change. When Bernie Sanders released his climate proposal, the New York Times described it as a $16 trillion climate change plan and noted that it was the most expensive proposal from a field of Democratic presidential candidates aimed at reining in planet-warming greenhouse gases in the very first sentence of the story. Newsweek ran a piece headline, here's how Andrew Yang's nearly $5 trillion climate change plan stacks up against his opponents. And many outlets promulgated a scary but utterly bogus estimate, apparently just invented by Republicans, that Representative Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez's plan for a Green New Deal would cost taxpayers $93 trillion. If we're to have any hope of mobilizing the effort scientists tell us is necessary, we have to turn this question around. Because the reality is that even if we set aside the human and biospheric cost of climate change, the excess deaths from extreme weather and encroaching diseases, the refugee crisis, habitat loss and mass extinctions, that is, the economic cost of allowing temperatures to rise even a couple of degrees above that target, is simply staggering. Of course, they have no idea what staggering means in this case because they cannot possibly estimate. Nevertheless, the article states, according to some estimates, they would dwarf the price tag associated with even the most ambitious proposals to tackle the problem. And that's not even factoring in the new economic opportunities that transitioning away from fossil fuels would confer on countries that take the lead in that process. Although the cost estimates vary, there is almost as much agreement on the broad point among economists who have studied the potential impacts as there is within the scientific community that human activities are warming the planet. In 2015, the Economist Intelligence Unit compiled a peer-reviewed report warning that, quote, the asset management industry, and thus the wider community of investors of all sizes, is facing the prospect of significant losses from the effect of climate change. Using an average of current warming models, they projected that investors would lose $4.2 trillion in assets by the end of the century, roughly on a par with the total value of all the world's listed oil and gas companies or Japan's entire gross domestic product. The researchers added that the average losses to be expected are not the only source of concern. On the contrary, the outliers, the particularly extreme scenarios, may matter most of all. In worst-case scenarios, they consider 10% of the world's assets would be wiped out. That's just losses to investors. They note that, quote, while the value of future losses from the private sector is substantial, this is dwarfed by the forecast harms when considered from a government point of view. There's nothing I can say to explain or justify this article. This is absolute nonsense and totally illogical. Nobody is able to come up for an estimate of what Green New Deal will cost, and nobody can come up with an estimate, therefore, of how much it will cost if they do nothing. And furthermore, there is no way that anybody can forecast into the future what effect changing climate will have on the economy. It just simply is impossible. So you've got all of these economists and scientists using computer models redundantly in a circular logic type of a fashion. I'll use your computer model if you use mine. And they come up with these fantastical stories that, well, you know, Green New Deal is cheaper than climate change, so we better do Green New Deal. Don't you think that's a better deal? Why, we might even have a sale on Green New Deal if we act soon enough. We might even save a little bit of money. So let's get after it, they say. We have to do it right now. And if we don't do it right now, all the polar bears are going to die, the ice caps are going to melt, the seas are going to rise, the earth is going to cook. Radical weather events are going to happen all over the world. Some say, by the way, that Mother Earth is punishing humans on the planet for being so cruel to her. See, this really has turned into a religion, hasn't it? It's absolutely insane. There is no economist in his right mind that would dare ever wade into this argument or this discussion. They simply could not. Now, if they were dishonest, if they were simply deranged themselves, they might. But I stress, no legitimate economist would ever wade into this discussion. Well, I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. You heard all about climate change here. If you visit the North Pole, wave to a polar bear. See you next time.